Hello, I'm Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. I am here with a longtime former colleague and still friend, Ms. Karen Conlon. She's the founder of Cohesive Therapy NYC and the author of this fantastic upcoming book, The Teenager's Guide to Adult Life Skills in HEX. Karen, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Darrell. What an amazing and extreme pleasure to be back with you, my mentor and leader. I'm excited.
So before we jump into cohesive therapy and your new book, can you share with our audience a little bit about your education and background?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I am, first of all, I want to share I'm a first generation Dominican American. I have a lot of pride in that, and I think it's important for women and people of color, but just anyone in general who comes from any country to know that the opportunities are here. So I wanted to first start with that. I was raised in New York, Queens, and I really, I feel like I was very privileged in that, even though my mom, single parent, had to work 24/7, and so missed out on a lot of that sort of attunement and had to grow up very quickly. But because of her drive and motivation to give us this better life, I was privileged in that I was able to attend, let's say, like a local Catholic school, and get, some of that, the private teachings that you get there. I did attend public school, but I did get to see the difference. And so I now see and recognize that was a privilege that I had. And so that then prompted me to want to go to that next level. So I went to Fordham University and for undergraduate. And then it wasn't until years later, after I had my daughter, that I decided in my early 40s that I wanted to become a therapist. So I went back to school, I applied to master's programs, and I chose NYU. Mm-hmm. And that's where I graduated from.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Phenomenal. So cohesive therapy, that's a very, very, I think a very powerful name, because, the mm-hmm. word cohesive and therapy, and then you got NYC. How did you come up with that name?
So the reason that I chose cohesive therapy NYC, so the NYC portion, to be completely honest, was purely because of SEO and practical and logical reasons, the NYC, you gotta stand out and you gotta be very directed, in terms of marketing. But the reason I chose the name cohesive therapy is because of the way that I practice. One of the things that I found worked for me, I've been to therapy. It's one of the reasons why I chose to have a career change and pursue this myself to help others, is because I found that it wasn't just one type of therapy that helped me. I found that when I was going through the therapy process and trying out different therapists, it was really exciting to be part of this process where I'm learning, what is this? Cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. Oh, and what's this? Oh, internal family systems. And then what's this? Motivational interviewing. So I realized that even though I have a tendency to I want to orient myself in one particular modality, everyone has different needs and different things that are going to help them, different tools. And so I felt that in order to be a more rounded clinician, I wanted to study more modalities. And I see that as a more cohesive way of practicing. And so that's why I came up with the name Cohesive Therapy NYC. And I appreciate you asking me that because no one ever asked me why the name. But you know, that's okay. I love that I'm able to talk about that today because I really did put a lot of thought into it.
For the benefit of our audience, you and I had the honor and pleasure of working together at Elsevier, and the way that you would manage your duties and your tasks, and most importantly, the personalities. It didn't surprise me when you said that you were going into this particular therapeutic workplace, because you have a tendency of always wanting to help people, helping to understand and seeing their perspective, but also presenting another perspective to us. So I'm just so proud of you, just
Thank
just.
you. Oh my gosh, Darrell, my years with you were some of the most formative leadership years that I would say I had. You, and then I have another gentleman that I worked with also, Chuck Garcia. To both of you, two amazing mentors. And it's interesting to see how I start off in like publishing and then went to mental health. And now I'm coming back full circle to publishing. Just like you and I are here, 360, so many years later. And you know, I love that I'm getting the opportunity to share with you that one of the there are things in life that you take with you. There are lessons. Sometimes the lessons take hours, days, weeks, and sometimes it's a moment. This lesson was a moment in time with you, but that has stayed with me really forever, and it really shaped the way that I work and the way I make decisions. I remember you gave me my first managerial role, and I was like, oh my gosh, okay, great. So I would go to meetings with you and say, okay, well, Darrell, look, this is the problem I have, and you know, start listening them off. And one day you just said to me, well, Karen, listen, I really appreciate you coming to me with all this. But this is what I'd like for you to do moving forward, okay? I want you to really think about what the solutions might be. And your answers may not be the right ones, but it doesn't matter. I'd rather you come to me with the thoughts about your solutions as well. And that light bulb went off in my head, and it quite literally has shaped the way that I go about solving problems. And I teach that to my clients, and I teach it to supervisees, people that I supervise, clinicians. So I just want to say that, and that started there in the publishing industry, and it has spilled over into mental health and my mental health practice and business.
Very nice. Wow. That is awesome. And
Yeah.
so let's talk about your book. I love the title, and I was trying to figure it out. Is this a book for the parents, or is this a book for teenagers? The Teenager's Guide to Adult Life Skills and Hacks. Because years ago, believe it or not, when I was in the fifth grade, my sister had me read a book, I'm Okay, You Okay? And it talked about how people take on the role of the child, the
Yes.
or the adult, and how to address each one of those. So, first of all, how did you come up with the title?
So the title is The Teenager's Guide to Adulting Skills and Life Hacks. Learn the practical social and communication skills that will help boost your self-confidence, manage emotions, and increase independence.
Wow.
So the way that I came up with that title was a combination of things. Number one is I did customer research. And I looked at what are people looking for. So there's a practical side of things, right? There's a research side where I actually looked up, you know, what are people looking for, right? When they're looking for books, what are the top selling books, right? And even though there's like hundreds of books on this, they're still doing quite well. So I said, okay, well, let me look into this further. And one thing I've learned about business is it's great to niche down. And so I said, well, let me niche down a little bit more, right? And I went into demographics. So, you know, without getting too much into the weeds about that, that's how I started. And then I had like 25 different variations until I came up with one that said to me, okay, yep, this speaks to what this book is about. Communication skills, self-confidence, manage emotions, and increase independence. those are the four things that teens struggle with. This book is meant to talk to, not talk at, but talk to teenagers within the age range of like 13 to 17. But to be honest with you, it's also for parents because, you know, my daughter's 14 years old and I invited her to help me out. And she said, well, I don't want to write. What? And I said, well, no. All I want you to do is read when I write a chapter. Once in a while, I'm going to ask you and just give me your honest feedback. And she would say to me, yeah, this doesn't work here because you sound like an adult talking down. I was like, okay, so what would you say? And this, oh, this is good. Like that I like, that would, you know, that makes sense. And so she was a part of this process throughout. She was giving me her feedback. She was a severe critic and also, you know, gave me her thumbs up. And she's like, yeah, okay, I would read this at the end of it. So the title was really more about getting to the crux of what's in the book and the types of general themes that I talk about, which are very relevant and resonating for teens. But I think it's also relevant for parents because I feel that parents, we lose touch with what's going on. And again, we, you know, I don't know, I was raised in the, you know, I was a teen in the 80s. It's a very different time. There's so much more exposure to stuff out there for our teens. And, you know, I think we need to roll with what's happening and what they're exposed to rather than trying to all the time protect them because they're going to find a way. So I'd rather see if I could help teens also feel empowered to open the doors and, you know, manage up, right? Sometimes we need to manage up. And I really want to empower teenagers to start early with some of these basic foundational skills.
Wow. You know, one question, you touched upon a little bit before that, but for folks who are thinking about doing what you're doing, what advice can you give them in your transition from moving from, you know, a corporate position that you're very mm-hmm. successful at to, you know, doing what you love, and then of course having, and then doing your own business.
Yeah. So one thing I would say is that for me, this has not been an easy journey because oftentimes I felt really bad about myself. I would say, gosh, you know, why can't I just stay in this industry? Why, you know, I see other people like staying in one industry. I later realized that that's just who I am, and I love a challenge and I love a new challenge. And so part of, you know, part of that journey was self-acceptance and learning that this is a strength that I have and not a deficit. So changing the way that I spoke to myself and my mindset around the way that I do things, the way that I process things was key. I worked really hard to stop seeing myself as, you know, this failure because I want to change and, you know, try different things and started to say, well, you know, this is really an asset because I work hard to get really good at what it is. And that's what happens. I really love a challenge.
Right.
And so that was, I think, the fundamental key is mindset, right? It's the shifting of the mindset around my thinking process and not wanting to, and being okay with not fitting in with, you know, the expectations, right? And societal expectations of what's quote unquote stable and consistent. Because I've always been stable and consistent in the parts of my life that matter. It's just that in terms of work, I really, you know, I like a challenge, right? And so I change things and I have changed things. The other thing too is I think people need to know and maybe accept or realize that this isn't linear, right? Where you start isn't necessarily where you're gonna end up. And the journey is very rarely linear. You have ups and downs and, you know, relapses and going back and then going three steps forward and two steps back. And it's not a linear process to get to where you're going. And I think that's the other thing too that has been helpful for me.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with my dear friend and former colleague, Karen Conlon. She's the founder of Cohesive Therapy NYC and author of the upcoming book, The Teenager's Guide to Adult Life Skills and Hacks. And when this book is going to be published, what? Shortly, right?
Yeah, mid-December. So right now, what I wanted to do, because this is a self-publishing also process, mm-hmm. and as my own publishing house, nice. I'm doing all the steps that normally, let's say, if I had a publisher do for me. I have published before. I have contributed to, you know, a textbook and other books, and I've been, you know, quoted as a subject matter expert and right. and done research. I've been part of research, but this is the first one. It's all me. And so, yeah. And so, I would say for anybody who wants to make changes or anyone who wants to do something like this, I would say, you know, just know that it's a, yes, it is a lot, but it's also doable.
Right.
Right. Wait, I may have changed. I mean, I don't know if I was answering the question that you were asking. I mean, I pivoted.
So what prompted you to write this book?
So my daughter, as I mentioned, is 14. I started thinking about this. Again, I was wanting a little bit of a challenge, something different. I love being a therapist, so I didn't want to do, you know, I didn't want to make any changes there. But I did start feeling like, gosh, you know, I want to share more knowledge with people, like the stuff that goes on in the therapy space. I started, you know, during COVID, I did, you know, some limited episodes of podcasts. So I have about 15 podcasts and they did quite well. But that was a lot of work on top of everything else. And so while I was doing the podcast, I started to think about, gosh, you know, people are reacting. They really, you know, this is helpful to have a way or a platform that reaches so many more people. Mm-hmm. I've always liked to write. And as a matter of fact, I thought I was going to be a journalist when I was in college.
Well, you did work.
I did, but I was in sales, so. Gift of gab. But anyway, so I started to look at my daughter and, you know, going through middle school and, you know, hearing the stories. I was like, well, this is interesting, you know, hearing all the changes because, you know, I forgot what that's like. And then I started to think about that. And that prompted me to like, oh, let me look at what, you know, do people care about tweens and teens? And I was so surprised to see not just how many books there are out there, but how well the good ones are doing. Mm-hmm. And so then I said, okay, well, I need to learn how to publish because, you know, I don't want to wait till somebody says, yeah, I'm going to take you. I'm going to learn how to do this myself. And so I embarked on the journey about learning about how to self-publish. So my biggest motivators, though, just going back to your original question were, how do I spread more information about what happens in the therapy space, the stuff that I do, like the cognitive behavioral therapy and, you know, the mindfulness and all the different things that help my clients out. The other thing too, is that with my daughter, I did apply a lot of these things. You know, my daughter's been doing diaphragmatic breathing since she was about six. And, you know, I applied some cognitive behavioral therapy skills with her when she was younger, when she was starting to get anxious about test taking. Mm-hmm. And I've seen how those have worked and really helped with, you know, helping her manage having really good tools for anxiety and, you know, self-image and stuff. And so everything just was aligned and it felt right, you know, not just emotionally and psychologically, but then also, you know, business-wise, when I looked at it, I said, oh, well, there might be something here still. There might be room for one more book.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. So when you, we talked about this, that this book is really for the teenagers to read, but also you said, you know, it's also good for the parents.
Does it
provide the parents, you know, the side of their child that maybe they just don't see just because they're a parent?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I try to do in this book, like I said, I speak to the teens. So, you know, my language is, I mean, I try to be also respectful of the fact that they're not 8 years old, right? And so, you know, I'm not speaking to them like they're 8 years old, but I am also not speaking in such formal language that it feels like a textbook. I wanted it to sound like, you know, conversation. I include a personal stories about when I was a teen and my own insecurities and, you know, stuff that I went through and some of the stuff that I did to cope. But in terms of what the parents might be learning, again, you know, this perspective is, it's actually not just for my daughter. When I first started in mental health, I worked specifically with adolescents, and I would see between 90 to 120 kids at an adolescent health center that I worked at per month. And then when I was working at Mount Sinai in the IBD health center, I was seeing both pediatric patients and adults. And so I have a lot of experience hearing and understanding a lot of the emotions that they go through, the really not understanding. I think parents also, they make the assumption that because they're doing something that their kid is going to see and mimic and understand that that's what they have to do. So I find that sometimes there is a disconnect where parents make, and I include myself in that, by the way, we make the assumption that they get it, that they should know better, that they don't need an explanation. Well, you've seen me do it 100 times. Doesn't it make sense? Right. And so I think that, parents or adults or guardians who are reading this book are going to be reminded that their kid doesn't necessarily know, and that they do need these skills, and that they do need to be asked, and that we shouldn't necessarily assume that they're picking it all up. So what I hope is that it opens the conversations, and it opens the platform for parents to lean into curiosity, right? So if you read something, you know, maybe they'll ask their kid, hey, can I ask you something? You know, when I ask you about this and you go into your room for 3 hours, you know, do you need some space? Or what's happening there?
Right. So are there exercises in the book for a parent and their teenager to do together?
Yeah, again, so absolutely. I use vignettes. Of course, I don't use real people, but I have created vignettes because our brains love a good story. And so the book does include little vignettes with different names, right, of kids that I put together for different sections. So there's one section on critical thinking. There's another session on personal safety and social media and self-image. So there are all these different sections, and the majority of these sections have a story, right? Something either that I've observed or that has really occurred. And then I do provide some recommendations or some ways to cope or manage or seek out support. There's one section in particular where I'm giving little scripts about how to talk to parents when, you know, let's say sometimes we worry, we want to fix things, we get very anxious and want to do things for our kids and want to jump, and what we're actually doing is pushing them away and shutting them down. So I give little scripts about, you know, different ways that they can, you know, talk to their parents. And, you know, I tell them, listen, parents are just getting, you know, they're used to getting you being a teenager. They're new at this too. And they can't read minds, and they sometimes still see you as that little 6-year-old that needs help tying their shoelaces. So, you know, you've got to teach us. And these are some ways that you might be able to do that.
I had to learn that with Bailey.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
She's not the 8-year-old. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, I'm still learning it every day. Even as I wrote this book, and you know, and my kids still is telling me, Mom, like she'll tell me things like, Mom, you're not listening. That's not what I said. That's an assumption. And then I say, okay, really, you're listening too much now to me. I don't need you pulling that on me now.
So, we're getting close to the end of our interview, unfortunately, because there's so much to talk about. But are you considering a lecture series around your book?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm just coming up for air from, I spent a little over a year writing and getting all those together and rewrites and re-edits. So I don't know. I have not considered that yet, but it's not out of the question. I will be producing an audiobook version of the book because as much as I love books, I like to listen to them now. And so I will be doing that. And that's not out of the question. I'm gonna parking lot that. Thank you,
You're
Darrell.
welcome. It just seems like a natural because, teenagers have so many different challenges and issues and this and that. And to get some sage advice of what you're providing, I think the high school is going to be like, oh yeah, we need Miss Collin. But
Well, thank
before
you. I
we
mean, it would give me a lot of joy to do that.
excellent. Before we close, what closing comments would you like to provide to our listeners?
Boy, so many. But I think in closing, I'd like to maybe share some of the podcasts that I listen to. Some of my favorite ones. I like the Science of Success with Matt Bodner. Because I love the evidence-based stuff, and he has great guests who explain things really well and down to earth. I also love Mel Robbins, and I love hearing John Assaraf. Those are some of my favorite people go to. And in terms of closing, I think it's important for people to remember that mindset and the way that we speak to ourselves really set us up for the paths that we take, how we see ourselves, how we see the world, how we think the world sees us. So maybe take some time to think about where you're at, where your mindset is at, and just remember that your past does not define you. You always have the choice. You have the power to make changes and the choices to do so.
Wow, very powerful. There is a book that I have on my shelf that I read all the time. It's a very thin book called As a Man Thinketh, and they also have a woman version, As a Woman Thinketh, because as we think, as we put food in our body to nourish ourselves, we need to do the same with what we read and what we think for that. Wow, this has been awesome.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This has been amazing. I'm so honored and grateful to have this time with you. And thank you for giving me the platform to share the information that I feel is so important. I
Oh,
want people to get along as well as possible, especially
we're
parents and children.
absolutely, especially parents and children, that's for sure. We're going to have you back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Miss Karen Collin. She's the founder of Cohesive Therapy NYC and the author of the upcoming book, The Teenager's Guide to Adult Life.
To adult the skills and
Adult
life hacks.
life skill, adulting life skills and hacks. I'll get it right.
Yes,
Darren, thanks for coming
that's
on
okay.
the program.
Thank you, Darrell. Thank you so much. Such a pleasure to see you again.
Well, that wraps it up this weekend for Leadership with Darrell W. Gunter. And we want you to have a great day and a great holiday season. But remember, leadership begins with you.